as Christians. Straight talk is not available everywhere. And in fact, it's, Monique, you're here. Two wives. Anyway, I didn't mean to overlook you there or call attention to your presence. It's not available anywhere, everywhere, and it seems to be wanted even fewer places. We don't like straight talk very often, especially in the world. And all of this series of lessons and all the different areas of life that we need to know about have been important, and if it's the case, as it always has been, it's going to be available on the Kent website. You can listen to all of those lessons. And so please avail yourself of that if you will. In the text that was just read for us by our brother a moment ago, we have the advice of a father to his son about ordering his life. And he prefaces that by telling him to pay careful attention. Pay attention. How many of you as parents have told your kids that? Listen to me. Pay attention to what I'm about to say here. Listen closely to my words. And the reason it's important is because the lesson that he has is important. And listen, there are so many choices in our lives. There's so many options that we have. Back in July, we went down to Beaverton to visit my son and his family. And they took us to a place in Beaverton that's called the Food Cart Park. And what they have there, and this is a euphemism, is what I used to call in California roach coaches. But they are permanently placed in this pod area, and there's about 30 of those, 33, I guess, trucks. And they have every kind of food in them. They have Thai food, Japanese, Mexican, German, American, Argentinian, Chinese, the most foreign of which for me was vegan. And it was so difficult. I did two laps trying to figure out, you know, smelling to see whether it was good or not, looking at other people. I'm sure they were upset because they walked by and go, what you got there? You know, because I'd never been there before. And some of these foods I'd never had before, including the vegan, and I didn't choose that, by the way. And so when we have so many choices, sometimes it's hard to choose. But I want you to realize that in reality, in our lives, there's really only two choices. We have the choice of the straight path or the crooked path. Now, the crooked path, there's lots of those, but it's still the crooked path. And the straight path, as we'll probably see a little bit later in our lesson, can also be narrow and difficult. But the other ones, just they go every direction you want. The problem with most people, I think, is they do not even have an idea what path they're on. They're just going through life. George Orwell recalled an event, an observation in his life that I think fits here, and I'm just going to quote him. I'm going to read his words. George Orwell said, "I thought of a rather cruel trick I once played on a wasp. He was sucking jam on my plate, and I cut him in half. He paid no attention, but merely went on with his meal while a tiny stream of jam trickled out of his thorax. Only when he tried to fly away did he grasp the dreadful thing that had happened to him." Now I'm thinking about, what is the bug thinking? Man, this is great jam. Man, this is life is good. Sweet. And then when he tried to fly, he said, "Oh no. Great." Because now he can't leaving most of his body behind him. You know, he can't fly away. And I'll tell you, I think that you don't want to be that wasp. You don't want to get at the end and say, "Oh no. What have I done?" So this morning I want to talk about these two options. And like Moses there in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. And you know, I'm not going to read all of that. In verses 15 through 19, verse 15 says, "I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction." There's your two choices. And if you look at verse 19, Moses said, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life." That's what I'm setting forth before you today. There's two options. One ends in life, and one ends in death. And let me assure you this morning that, first of all, the fact that you have a choice is God's blessing, that He gives us that option. We just memorialized why God was able to give us that option. It's because He paid the price for us. He paid the price for all of our bad choices and said, "Come back. I'll pay for it. I'll pay for that." But let me also assure you that if you happen to be on the wrong path this morning and you're still alive, which I think pretty much describes all of us here, then you can change your direction. You can opt for a different path. And so let's open up our Bibles and see what God has to say about that. And I want to start with the crooked path, first of all, this morning. And like you, if you're still in Proverbs, to turn back to the second chapter. It's on the same opening in my Bible. And let's read verses 12 through 15 of chapter 2. Again, the father is still speaking to his son. "Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways." So let's just get this crooked path out of the way here and let's think about that. I don't know about you, but when I read the description of the crooked path and who populates it, I don't want anything to do with that path. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be on it. It's populated by wicked men. It's dark. I most of the time that I've come over here, I've spent the weekend at the Sick Tish's home, and when Larissa was there, she gave me her room. Now she's gone. Thank you, Larissa, for doing that. And as you go through their family room to Larissa's room, there's a little tiny step up that goes into that room. You know, I'm not one for turning on lights all the time. I kind of figure I can get there. And the first couple of times that I stayed there, you know, I stumbled, I stubbed my toe. Because listen, I like light. Don't you like light? When the power goes out and you're looking for the flashlight, don't you go over and turn on the switch so you can find the flashlight? I mean, light is such an important part of our lives that we look for it. This is dark. There's no light here. It's filled with those who delight, the Bible says here, in doing wrong. They're devious. They rejoice in perverseness. Perverse, the word perverse means twisted. It has within it the idea of being crooked. And besides that, it's a crooked path. So understanding that, why then do so many people, in fact, the vast majority of people, choose that path? Well, first of all, it's inviting. Look at that path up there. Doesn't that path just say, "Don't you want to go to that land?" You know, you look at that, you say, "That's where I want to go." What land? Just keep that little question in your mind for a moment. Second, it is also the path of least resistance. It's like the course of rivers and streams or forest creatures that make woodland paths. It's the one that causes and gives the least resistance. That's the way that they want to go. And so this crooked path allows us to take the easy way. Every step is of our journey is whatever we want to do, wherever we want to go. No desire of ours has to be ignored there. We just go along. And listen, that's the mindset of most people. I guarantee you that popular atheism, which is what I call it, it's not an atheism that's seated in real study and conclusion. It's convenient. And if I don't believe there's a God, then there's nobody to tell me what to do. And that's what most people want. And listen, people who choose this path are not looking at the big picture. They're looking at the moment that they're in and doing what pleases them. They're looking down this path. Listen, if you look down this path, how far can you see? What lies beyond that last left turn up there? You have no idea. And in fact, I wish I could have, but then you couldn't have seen the path. The path is so populous. There's so many people on the path that you're looking and saying, well, everybody's going this way. This is great. And we're all going wherever we're going together. We don't know. We're having a good time on the way. And so that's what they do. And because it's crooked, listen, even if you looked up, which you generally don't do, you can't see because of the shortened vision, which gets me back to my song, Don't You Want to Go to That Land? What land? You don't even got the slightest idea where that path is leading. You don't know where it's going to end. There's tons of corners on crooked paths. And you cannot know where the end is. Which means that the dire end of that path, God tells us what's the end of that path. You're just like the wasp, man. You're just enjoying the jam. According to Matthew, the 7th chapter in verse 13, Jesus said, wide is the gate and broad is the way. And then he tells us where that crooked path leads. It leads to destruction. It can accommodate a lot of people. And because there's a lot of people, we have a false sense of security. Well, everybody's going here. Everybody's doing this. How can so many people be wrong? Which takes you to Luke, the 13th chapter in verse 23, where one of his disciples asked him, are there few that be saved? And in essence, though Jesus didn't answer it directly, in essence he said, yes, but make sure you're one of the few. You make sure that you're a part of those that are saved. Don't worry about the numbers end of it. You worry about the fact that you're among them. And beyond that, I would suggest we worry about that our loved ones are there, and then our friends and our coworkers, and eventually to everybody that we come in contact with. The crooked path ends in death. It ends in destruction. Listen, nobody, this is the bottom line, nobody's going to be happy when they get to the end of this path. You're not going to be happy. I promise you, you will not be happy. So let's dispense with that. Let's get on with the straight path. And go back to our text there in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, in verses 20 through 27, because the evidence of the straight path actually begins in your heart. And that's what he says there in verse 23, that what goes into your heart is going to come out in your life. Guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. So whatever you allow in your mind, and you know, again, that I guess kind of gets back to all the things we've been talking about. We've been talking about trying to hide your swearing or the pornography or the politically correct speech. Whatever you're going to allow into your heart, it's gonna emit out of your life. It's going to be shown. I like the fact that Chad talked about people having two languages. You know, you got your church language, you got your language when you're around your brothers, then you got your work language. You know how embarrassing it is when you get those mixed up? There you are at church and something blue comes out. By the way, that's a euphemism. And you say, oh, man, thought I was at work. It's going to come out. So do a heart check. And by that I mean, are you in this life for the short-term joy, for the moment of happiness that you have every once in a while? Are you in it for the long-term fulfillment of the purpose that God had for you? Which, listen, the purpose God has for you is to be with Him in heaven. Can you imagine that? That God created us to be with him eternally. That's his purpose. And so if that's the case, then do what Paul said in Colossians, the third chapter, in verses 1 through 4. And again, I'm not going to read the whole text. But he said, since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Think about that. You know, Brent was talking yesterday about the pornography and how it creates these channels in your mind. Listen, that's what Philippians 4 is telling you to do. Think on these things. Whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is holy. You just think on those things. You make that the habit of your mind. And you're going to have to grab the wheel of your life and jerk it like that to get out of the ruts that you will create in your mind if you'll do that. I'm from Yakima. I know what ruts are. I know what country roads are. You can get on, you can put your car in there and put it in first gear, let your foot off the clutch and just let it go. It'll steer itself. God created us that way. The straight path is going to be seen in your speech. And we talked a good bit about that in verse 24 of our text. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Don't say crooked things. There should be no corrupt talk that comes out of our mouths. Ephesians, the fourth chapter there, verse 25. Put off falsehood, speak truthfully. Verse 29, don't let any unwholesome talk. Unwholesome, by the way, that's a really good euphemism. It actually means rotten speech. You know, you go to the produce, you go to one of these fruit stands over here, and they got that bin over there with the moldy apricots. You guys, you always reach down there and grab those, don't you? That's rotten. Marilyn Ward will remember this. We had a member at Lake Hills whose name was Joe Voxberger. And she had before she became a Christian, kind of had a filthy mouth. And she had work talk and family talk. And she came home and used her work talk one time with her dad. And this statement has stayed with me for years since I was at Lake Hills. Her dad told her, I wouldn't have in my hand what you just had in your mouth. So it's going to show up that you're on the straight path by your speech. It's going to be seen, it's going to be established by an evidence by what you set your eyes upon. Job the 31st chapter and verse 1, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look on a maid? Pornography is especially pernicious to men. Listen, I know that you can't help sometimes what pops up in your vision. I don't know if it's Abraham Lincoln or something. He said, I can't keep a bird from landing on my head, but I can keep it from building a nest there. When I lived in Southern California, I may have shared this with you or not. I don't know. Scantily clad women in public areas is common. And so what I do when I come up to an intersection, especially down along the beach cities there, and you have the crosswalks, and you have all these women walking across in bikinis, what I decided to do, what the thing I would do is I would look in the other cars and see what the other men were doing and laugh at them. It helped. It just took my eyes off of what I didn't need to see. Listen, your vision, it's not just the sexual stuff that's involved in that. You can covet with your eyes. You become jealous with your eyes. You become envious with every. So much comes in through your eyes. Most of our desires come via our eyes. And also our fears. There in Matthew, the 14th chapter, you have Jesus walking on water out to the apostles. Looked like he was going to walk by, and then he'd stopped. And Peter shouts out there and says, Lord, if it's you, then bid me to come. You know, we make the big mistake. We say that Jesus is the only person that walked on water. That's not true. Peter walked on water. Look in verse 25 of Matthew 14. Well, we don't need to read all that. I just told you that whole story. Verse 28, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Verse 29, Jesus said, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Yay, Peter! Way to go! You know, in my vision of things, where Jesus is, there's no storm. You know, there's storms everywhere. There's Jesus, he's sitting in a pool of calm. I want to be there. So he gets out and he walks on the water. But before he gets there, he looks, oh man, look at this big wave coming. Oh no, look at this one. Took his eyes off of Jesus. And what came? Fear. So if you're wanting to walk the straight path, then keep your eyes on Jesus. It's also manifested by your feet, where you're going, the direction you're going. That's also there in our text in Proverbs. And make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Listen, when you wander off the straight course, you've just automatically made it crooked. Do you see that? If you're on a straight line and you go off a little ways, you just went crooked. And if you think about a drunk driver going down a straight highway and he's going like this, you know that he's got a problem. And if you get close to him, you're going to have a problem. And sometimes we think, well, I'll just step off a little bit. I'll just step off this path just a little ways. I can see right there and I can always come back. We all have stories of people that did that. Good friend, brother in Christ, struggled with alcohol. Dead now because of his alcoholism. He said, one drink won't hurt. Just step off that path, just one drink. Listen, our best thinking, our best justification for whatever we're doing that puts us off the path, it's our best thinking that got us there. Your best thinking isn't good enough. You need to let God be the thinker. And let him guide you and stay on that path. So how do we do that? Well, here's God's remedy here, also in my Bible. It's so convenient that my Bible is published the way it was because everything I have is right on one page. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So the promise there is that God will make your path straight. This whole weekend has been about straight talk and pointing out dangers and identifying unholy and destructive behaviors. One of the things that all of us have tried to do is provide remedies as well. Remedies from God's word. This is not a depressing weekend where he's saying, oh, you know, The ship is sinking. That's why I'm a professional speaker. And so just give up. No, there's help. There's remedies. And so all through this, of all this crooked ways and all this, here's the remedy for keeping on the straight path. And God is very clear about it. Because listen, God is the only being in the universe that can take crooked things and make them straight. And so I want to look, the rest of our time here, I want to look at these. And as I'm guessing, I'm hoping that if you're on the crooked path this morning, that the reason that you're here is because you want to be on the straight path. So how do I do that? How do I make my path straight? Well, number one, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, Chad said yesterday, this congregation knows Matthew 16:24, inside and out, upside, downside. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart is the first part of Matthew 16:24, and that's denying yourself. Not trust in me anymore. I'm going to trust God with my whole heart. That's the first step off the crooked path. We trust God with our lives. We trust God with our souls. We trust God with our loved ones. And Listen, trust itself is just it's an assured reliance. We know that we can rely on this person's character, on this person's power and ability, and whatever it is that they can do, we know that we can trust them with that. And Hebrews, the 13th chapter in verse 5, actually the last part of that verse where the Hebrew writer is quoting Moses back in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, where God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Never. Never. And I'll tell you, one of the most comforting passages in God's word is Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, where the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's God's plan for us. And the wonderful thing about that is he's able to do it. He has, we can rely on him. He's got the power. He's got the ability to do that. And that is what you have to trust. And listen, he's given us plenty of evidence in God's word for us being trustworthy of him depending on his trust. And I don't have time now to go through all the ways which God has proved himself trustworthy. If you want to know about it, there's plenty of people here who will study with that with you. But you trust God and you trust him with your whole heart. Let me back up there. Listen, that's not something that's foreign to us. I promise you that when the light turns green down here at Kent Kangley in 116, is it 116, is that right? That when you go through the green light, you are trusting that everybody else coming the other direction is going to stop. You don't even think about that. You just trust with your whole heart that that's going to happen. You're shocked when somebody doesn't. You're mad when somebody does. You ran a red light. I trusted you. You were going to stop. We are offended at that. You trust when you get on a plane that you've bought a ticket to go to a certain place that it's going to go there. Listen, you don't have any control of that. You're sitting in the plane. You're watching and looking things. You thought we were going to Hawaii. There's snow down here. You know, you trust that that's where you're going to go. I'll even give you a more important trust. You trust that the 16-year-old cooking your food in the back of the fast food restaurant washed his hands. That's an image, huh? So trust is not something that is unfamiliar to us, and trusting with our whole heart. And what that means is that when God puts a period someplace, we're not allowed to put a question mark. We're not allowed to doubt that. God is trustworthy. And the greatest evidence of that, he sent his son to die for us. Listen, it's easy to trust God when things are going great. But you have to trust him when things are falling apart too. Or when things turn out differently than what we hoped for or wanted. But he's told us then, okay, so now don't lean on your own understanding. Listen, if you're leaning on your own understanding, you've pushed God out of the picture. You're not trusting him with your own heart. You have decided to take that place. And when you think about leaning, you know, leaning, if I'm on a motorcycle and I'm leaning it so I can turn, it means to rely on. It can even have an opinion. I'm leaning towards steak for lunch or, you know, whatever that is. It's depending on something else. And our understanding is our own comprehension, our mental grasp of something. So let me give you an illustration of that. In your car, you've got a passenger side mirror over here. And I can see, you know, I'm driving down and I look over there and I can see pretty well things that are happening behind me, and I have a perception of that. But it's a perception, listen, that's limited, and it's limited because there's this little tiny phrase on my mirror back there. It says, objects in the mirror may appear closer than they are closer than they appear. Well, I thought I had plenty of room before you ran into me there. Because it's skewed, and it tells you it's skewed. Life is the same way. I can get an insight in the life that I live and the observing the things that go on, but I can't lean on my perception. I can't lean on my understanding. And I have to trust the caption of my life that says, God's thoughts and ways aren't my ways. It's far superior. And I shortened that so it'd fit on your mirror. So when you're facing a difficult decision, where do you turn first? And just think about that. When I got a major decision in my life, who do I ask about first? Do you consult God? Do you go to God in prayer? Is that your first step? Do you consult perhaps godly people? Or do you lean on your own understanding and your own desires? And if you're doing that, if you're following your own desires, I'll quote Dr. Phil. He's been quoted before in here. How's that working out for you? God wants us to pray. He wants us to ask for his guidance. He wants us to search the scriptures here and see what the principles are and life facts that we can live by. And he wants us to seek his will in our lives and do seek advice from godly people. That's part of the equation. And if you cannot see the end from the beginning like God does, then you need his help because he can. And then acknowledge God in all that you do. The word acknowledge here in the Hebrew means to recognize the authority of God. And to do so in every aspect of your life. Listen, if you're in a hospital on life support, hopefully prior to that, you left a living will or whatever with the name of some person who's able to make a decision for you. You may have filled out a DNR and taken care of that, but sometimes there's going to be a need for someone to come up, and there's a person that has authority over your life because you have no way of making those decisions anymore. And what I'm saying here is that God has to be that with regards to us. We're sick. We can't make healthy decisions for ourselves. We need someone trustworthy, someone who we know loves us and cares for us and wants what's best for us. And that's God. And then he says, in all that you do. You can't invite God into part of your life, say, okay, Lord, I'm giving you this part. You've got all control, but there's these things over here that are mine, and I'm going to stay in control of those things. God's not going to get into that negotiation with you. He's not going to sign that contract. Here's the agreement God will make. Trust God with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, and acknowledge me in everything you do. Sign the dotted line. I'm in. All in, God said. So there's zero areas in your life that God is not overseeing. His light's going to shine brightly on every part of your life. He's going to be in your marriage. He's going to be in your parenting as being children, in your career, in your recreation, in your hobbies, as well as your faith, every part of it. And the promise is that he'll make your path straight. Some of your translations have, he will direct your paths. I guarantee you, if God is directing your paths, they'll be straight. And we'll be walking the path that God wanted us all along. That's that Proverbs 29:11 again. He's got plans for you. Plans to bless you. Plans to give you hope. Plans to give you eternal life. And again, I'll make an assumption here that the reason you're here is that's what you want. You want to be on the straight path. Now let me make a comment here. Straight does not mean easy. Sometimes straight can become straight. Narrow, difficult. Suffering that comes along with it. But as we just talked about in Hebrews, no matter how difficult, no matter how narrow, God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Another one of those passages that I take a lot of comfort from is Romans 8th chapter and verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Listen, whatever difficulties you encounter, whatever sacrifices that you have to make by walking on the straight path, when you get to heaven, there's no one who's going to say, well, I earned this. It's not even going to be part of the conversation. When you get to heaven, you're not going to go up to, hey, well, what did you endure to get here? Oh, let me tell you what I endured to get here. That's not going to be a part of it. It's not even worth talking about. You can't even compare it. And by the way, it's the only path that leads home. And it's the only straight path is the only one. And Jesus said in John the 14th chapter and verse 6, no one comes to the Father except by me. No one. Some translations say, I am the way, the truth, and life. I think maybe probably what it more clearly saying is, I'm the true and living way. The straight path is the true and living way. And that's the way that you go through Jesus. That's how you do that. And so I'm setting before you life and death. Do you want life or do you want eternal separation from God? If you want life, choose Jesus. And let us help you. And if you're not quite ready to do that, then let us help you. Let us give you some more information. Let us share with you the good news, the gospel, and the evidence, and all the things that are there. You're still going to come to him by faith. We're not going to prove anything to you to the point of knowledge. God wants you to come to him in faith. But if you believe, if you truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is that true and living way, and you want to leave the crooked path, that's repentance right there. Just saying, man, where I'm at is not where I want to be. I want to be over there. That's repentance. And having made that decision in your heart, then God says, this is what you need to do. First of all, I need you to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before other people. And then I want you to be buried with Christ in baptism. And it's amazing, there's so many amazing things that happen in baptism, none of which you or I do. You know, people call baptism a work. Pfft. It's not a work in that sense. I'm not earning anything. Everything that happens in that tank, God does. He's the one taking away the sins. He's the one who's creating that new creature. He's the one who's raising that spiritually dead person and making them alive. And he's the one who takes that person, you and I, who are in sin on the crooked path, and when we come up, boom, we're on the straight path. Just like that. I asked Kyle to lead Just As I Am. You can open your songbooks to there. 920, is that what it is? Yes. Not even my songbook, but I was able to remember that. Put a star for me. I have come across so many people in my life who want to become Christians, but you say, you know, I got some changes I have to make first. There's some things in my life that I have to undo before I can do that. No. And this song just so aptly states that. Just as you are. Because the person who's doing all the work to change you is God. So you come with no pleas, no excuses. The only thing that you have is, I need the blood of Christ. And he's offering it to you. I mean, you have to beg for that. There it is. It's offered to you. And he'll change you. Let him do the work. You just submit to his love. And if we can help you with that this morning, we'd love to do that. And so we're going to sing this song. I think we'll sing verses 1 and 5, because I don't know verse 6. And if you want to come to the Lord this morning, then do that. That'll be a great time to do that. If you want to do it later, if you want to talk to somebody later. Listen, there's no time limit on this. This is your last chance until next year's lectureship. No, it's not even your last chance until tonight. It's any time. Any time your heart says, I need the Lord, then there's plenty of people here that are ready to do that 24/7. But if it's now, then please come forward while we stand and sing.